Our scripture reading for tonight is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, all the verses of that chapter, verses 1 through 10. And of course, I'm sure all of you know there's also a 2 Thessalonians. So Paul, of course, was obviously well connected to this church in Thessalonica. So 1 Thessalonians then, beginning at verse 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, of course, being his traveling companions, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers loved by God, we know that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model or an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us or delivers us from the coming wrath. Well, let's keep our Bibles open, shall we, to this portion of God's Word. During his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul had a vision which instructed him to leave Asia Minor, which would be modern-day Turkey, and travel to Macedonia, which would basically be northern Greece. Upon arriving in Macedonia, he spent several days in the leading city of Philippi, and during that time, he spent at least one night in jail because of his preaching ministry, not because of any crime committed, not because of any evil misdeed, but simply because Paul was faithful in preaching Christ to the people. And of course, while he was in jail in Philippi with Silas, many of you know the story out of Acts 16. They had a chance to witness to the Philippian jailer. He asked a question, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household." So that took place while Paul was in a Philippian jail. After Philippi, the apostle traveled to Thessalonica, where he spent at least 3 weeks proclaiming Christ both to Jews and to God-fearing Gentiles. Later, during his third missionary journey, Paul had a chance once again to preach Christ in Thessalonica. So clearly, Paul was intimately involved with this church in Thessalonica, not because of his more than one visit, but because also of his more than one letter. And from the opening verses of chapter 1, we know that God blessed the gospel ministry of the Apostle Paul and his traveling companions. So if you have your Bibles open, just look at verses 3 through 5, where he says, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers loved by God, we know that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." So clearly, God blessed the preaching of the gospel there in Thessalonica. So tonight, as we consider the faith of the church in Thessalonica, we will also reflect upon our faith. You know, as we're closing out another year, and Lord willing, we'll soon be into another new year it's good for us to reflect as we are getting ready to go forward. First of all, let us remember where we were. Prior to their conversion, these believers in Thessalonica were worshipers of idols. But then something wonderful happened as a result of the Holy Spirit. They were transformed by God's power and turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And notice how Paul puts it in verse 6. He says in verse 6, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So clearly the Holy Spirit was at work in their hearts and lives, so much so that they welcomed the good news of Paul's preaching, the joy of the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit was at work in them, we see later in verse 9 how their lives were transformed by the power of the gospel. So later in verse 9, what does Paul say? He says, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Imagine that. From idols which are dead to the God who is living. From the idols which are false to the God who is true. And from the idols which are many to the God who is one. Beloved, let us remember where we were prior to our conversion. Now, I don't know any of you personally. For myself, I became a Christian rather late in life while living in Fort Lauderdale in 1973. I was in my early 20s. But no doubt, some of you, perhaps many of you, recall being a Christian pretty much all of your life, going back to a young child, and praise God for that. But at some point, of course, the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts and brought us to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether at a young age or sometime later. So let us remember where we were prior to our conversion, or to put it another way, let us remember where we were without Christ in our lives. We were sinners under the sentence of death. That is how all of us came into this world. All of us, not just all of us here tonight, but all of us who live on planet Earth. We all came in as sinners under the sentence of death. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 6? For the wages of sin is what? Death. And though we may not have been worshipers of carved images, yet we had and may still have our own kind of idols. We may have the idol of superstition, where we believe that life is somehow governed by strange, mysterious, and unknown forces. People call it fate or luck. But as Christians, we don't talk in that way, or at least we shouldn't, because we believe in a sovereign God who controls all things according to his eternal plan. So things do not happen by chance. Rather, they take place according to God's providence. We may have the idol of success, which motivates us to climb to the top, though others may be stepped on or pushed aside along the way. But once again, as Christians, we don't want to conduct ourselves in that way, especially in the world of business. Not that success in and of itself is bad. I'm not opposed to that word, but for the Christian, success comes to us because we live according to the word of God. We do our work as unto the Lord. As Paul says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. Or we may have the idol of self, which places me, myself, and I at the center of things. That's pretty much how unbelievers live, do they not? But for us as Christians, we don't want to have that kind of idol in our lives. We want rather to have God first and foremost in our thinking and in the way we live. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So my challenge to you tonight and to myself is this: are there any non-Christian habits that need to be broken in your life. Remember, revival begins with you and me here tonight. There must be a turning from evil in our own lives before we can expect to see it in the lives of others. And praise God, with the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, yes, we can turn away from the ways, we can turn from the ways of this world in order that we might serve the living and true God. We too can turn from idols, whatever they might be, that we might be servants of God. So that's the first thing we see in these verses. Remember where we were. These Thessalonians were worshipers of idols. That may not have been true of us, but nevertheless, we were sinners destined for death. Secondly, let us remember where we are. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, Paul says, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." These believers at Thessalonica were now serving God. And as servants of God, they became a model or an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, which today would roughly be northern and southern Greece. Verse 7, Paul said, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but in verse 7, Paul says, "And so you became a model, an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Then in verse 8, in the very next verse, we learn the specific nature of their witness to others. They were faithful to God's word or to his message. Look at verse 8. How is it that they became a model, as Paul says in verse 7? Well, the answer is in verse 8. "The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere." These believers made no apologies regarding their love for God's word, and neither should we. You and I here tonight should never have to apologize for our belief in the word of God, for our love for God's word. As Paul says in Romans, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So these believers in Thessalonica made no apologies regarding their love for God's word. It says in verse 8, "The Lord's message rang out from you." Consequently, the Lord's message rang out from them so that others heard quite clearly about their faith in God. Beloved, let us remember where we are, or at least where we should be. God has given us a new life in Christ in order that we might serve him. Therefore, like the Thessalonians, let us also have a testimony that rings loud and clear. Now, for some churches, this means nothing more than the loud noise of musical instruments. And though there is nothing wrong with using a variety of musical instruments in the worship service, hopefully, our loud noise will come primarily from a different source. Hopefully, our witness will be an uncompromising and undying devotion to the Lord's message, so much so that others will hear that we take the Bible seriously. Now, I don't know about you, but I take the Bible seriously. I don't understand it all, but I believe that this book is the word of God from cover to cover. So taking the Bible seriously does not mean that we have all the answers. At least I do not have all the answers. And I suspect you do not have all the answers either when it comes to Bible questions. So taking the Bible seriously does not mean that we have all the answers. However, we do have the answers to the most important questions, and the answer to the most important question, what must I do to be saved, or what must I do to inherit eternal life? Answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Taking the Bible seriously, does this mean that we can't laugh now and then? Well, now, I don't know about you, but I think it's good to have a sense of humor. So taking the Bible seriously doesn't mean that we can't laugh now and then. Taking the Bible seriously, does this mean that we keep doing everything the way we have for the last 10 years? Perhaps, but not necessarily so. With the leading of the Holy Spirit, perhaps we'll discover new ways of doing something that might be better as far as getting the word out. So my challenge to you tonight is this: in what ways can we as a congregation better communicate to others the message of God's love? How can we better demonstrate to others our faithfulness to God's word? How can we get the message out in a way that others will hear? Remember, the Church of Jesus Christ, of which you and I are a part, the Church of Jesus Christ is the primary vehicle in the world for communicating the good news of salvation. It's not the Christian school, it's not the Christian home, or anything like that. As important as they may be, it's the Church of Jesus Christ, the local body of believers. God wants to use us to communicate to this lost and dying world the good news of salvation. Now, what are some ways we can do that? Or what are some ways we can pursue that? Well, perhaps, I don't know what this congregation is doing, but I know other churches have done this. My wife and I have been part of one in South Holland, Illinois for a while, but perhaps a training class in evangelism. Perhaps an invitation Sunday where you as church members are encouraged to invite a friend or family member to join you on a given worship service. Or perhaps a weekly exercise in scripture memory. Now, I don't know how you feel about scripture memory, but I'm all for it. I've been memorizing scripture almost since I became a Christian, way back when. In a church where I served in Illinois for 8 years, we did that towards the end somewhere, but we had a list of verses that we would memorize for the month, and you know, we had a verse for each given Sunday. And so, like, for example, next Sunday we would all recite together that particular scripture verse, and if the people didn't take the time to memorize it, they could at least still recite it out loud, because it would be either in the bulletin or on the screen. But the whole idea is, by memorizing scripture, it not only benefits our own soul, our own walk with God, but it gives us one more tool to use in getting the message out. So that's the second thing. The first thing is, remember where we were, sinners under the sentence of death, but praise God, through the Holy Spirit, our lives have been transformed. Remember where we are. We are now servants of God. Last of all, let us remember where we shall be. As Christians, we are going someplace. We have a destination. We have a final stopping point, as it were. According to verse 10, these believers in Thessalonica were waiting for Christ to come from heaven. Look at verse 10. He says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. On that day, they and all believers will be delivered from the coming wrath." Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather face the love of God than the wrath of God. And according to what Paul writes here, these believers will be rescued, delivered from the coming wrath when Jesus comes again. Yes, as Christians, we believe in the second coming of Christ. He came once, he shall come again. He said so in John 14. Remember, he said to his disciples, "And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself," right? "That where I am, there you may be also." So as Christians, we believe, based on the word of God, that Jesus is coming again. This is our blessed hope. We serve a living Savior who was raised from the dead, never to die again. So years ago, when those women came to the tomb early on a Sunday morning, thinking that they would find a body, they found a tomb empty. Now, they knew which tomb it was because those same women were there to witness Jesus being crucified. They also saw where he was buried, so they knew exactly where his tomb was. So when they went back a few days later expecting to find a body, they didn't find a body. And it's been empty ever since. Praise God. We serve a living Savior. And this resurrected Jesus is coming again in glory for his people. My challenge to you tonight is this. Remember where we shall be. Someday we shall be with Jesus in heaven. Someday we shall be in glory with all the saints. Now that's a great thing, at least to me. Somewhere in Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, and he said, in the kingdom of heaven we shall dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now it won't be just those three. There'll be all the Old Testament saints and all the New Testament saints, and we'll all be there together in the kingdom of heaven in fellowship with God in the light of his glory. So that's something to look forward to. We shall be in glory with all the saints. Therefore, since this is true, what are some things we could or should be doing right now to prepare ourselves for that great and glorious day? Well, perhaps you need to think about mending a broken relationship with another believer. Someone you haven't talked to in a while because there's a problem. And perhaps now's a good time to mend the broken relationship, to seek reconciliation. Perhaps helping with a church ministry. Now, this church is much larger than the churches I'm working with up north, so I'm sure there's lots of opportunities for ministry. What can you do? How can God use you here at Second Christian Reformed Church in lovely Kalamazoo, Michigan, to get the word out, to help grow the church? Or maybe, especially going into New Year, you know, the big thing, and maybe this is true all over the world, but you know, people make these New Year's resolutions. Okay, fine. But for the Christian, you know, something we should be doing throughout the year is renewing our walk with God. Doing what I call a spiritual self-examination. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And that's a good thing to do, a spiritual self-examination. Taking yourself before an open Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit and just examine yourself spiritually speaking. And in so doing, refocus yourself as far as your relationship to God, renewing your walk with God. And so as we close out another year, and only a few days away we'll be into a new year, Lord willing, let's remember where we came from. We came out of a life of sin. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are now servants of God. And because we are servants of God, members of his household, we are destined for glory. That's a great thing. And I hope and pray that when that day comes, you know, Jesus comes again, and we're all gathered together, hopefully, we will all hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, we bow before you this night just to thank you once again for your Holy Spirit and just for the way he worked years ago in that city of Thessalonica, bringing these worshipers of idols to a saving knowledge of Christ. And thank you, oh God, that you continue to do so even today. You continue, Lord, to bring sinners unto yourself. We thank you, O God, for this year that is almost over. And Lord, as we enter into a new year, we pray, O God, that we will continue to show ourselves faithful to you, and that we will do our part to get the Lord's message out so that others may hear and also be saved from their sins. Bless us, we pray. To that end, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.